Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna, Country Mac Kempf. And bellied up to the bar is a man who apparently has switched his NFL allegiances mid-season.
Say what?
He is the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
Who they think gonna beat them Bungles? The Colts will beat them.
I don't know if it's the Colts or Raiders because you're wearing Jim Otto.
Well, it's just 0-0. I'm a zero Colts fan. Let's go Colts, dude. I'm on the bandwagon.
I love it.
I mean, if Flacco can't win the game last week, we're done. It's over.
Well, yeah.
And, I've been to some Colts games with you. I've been to several Colts games, and I always like to represent the Colts. They got great fans and a great venue. Not like the Bengals where everybody fights and stuff.
It is true. I've never seen a fight or been in an altercation at a Colts game.
The Colts game is a classy place, trust me.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
I think it is.
That may be a bridge too far.
Okay, maybe.
The last time I was at a Colts game, the two guys in our row, like two seats down, were both escorted off the premises after about their 30th Bud Light.
Well,
what do those guys do for a living? Like mine gold to be able to buy 30 beers at an NFL stadium?
These guys were more likely to not mine gold, but perhaps retrieve other precious metals, maybe in more nefarious circumstances, like taking the copper out of a lamppost.
Oh, okay. Well, they just got a big score before that day.
Because I gotcha. But, you know, like every pro football game is out of control. But I've seemed to think that I would take my child. And he's been to a Bengals game, but I would be more apt to take him to a Colts game.
Yeah, Bengals games are no place for kids.
Yeah, you got that right.
Well, who would subject their child to that product on the field?
But do you want him to hate football forever?
Right.
That's like a place like a mom takes her kids if they don't want them to be a football
fan.
Hold
on now. This ain't a bashing session.
I
was getting at is that, look, I'm sick of the front office. I'm sick of them. I almost wore a Bears hat in here. The Bears. And I'm sick of I love Joe Flacco. If I could get a jersey of his, I would. But anyone else on that stinking team, I don't want nothing. So now I'm wearing blue, baby.
Not even Jamar
Let's
Chase?
Let's go Colts. No, I don't even care about Chase. He's an LSU Tiger anyway.
Yeah.
And
trade them all.
Speaking of LSU, we've got
sometimes you just get fed up.
We have some things to talk about with the LSU program, of course, here directly. But before we get started, I want to remind everybody we are on social media on Twitter, Facebook, and on TikTok. Freddie made his second TikTok video last week. I'm sure that will continue.
3-2
this week. Yep. 3-2 with his picks. As a podcast, we had our second straight sub 500 week. We went 9-11 again, which brings our overall record to a still very good 91-58-1 on the season.
How did we get the one?
There was a push.
Someone asked us about
it's a push.
That. It was a push. I just didn't know if y'all remembered the game.
It was one of Tuna's picks, I think.
That's funny.
Of Tuna's picks very early in the season.
And don't forget, Travis, on our video picks on the reel, it's a reel, on the reel, which was way better this time, guys. I was so much more not so intense. It's every one of our number one pick.
Yeah.
So it's not just my picks.
That's right.
Even though I went 3-2 on my picks on the podcast too, it was actually I take one of each of the guys, and then because I do it, I take two of mine. So just so you guys know, it's not just me making the picks. It's all of us doing our number one.
That's right. And, of course, at the end of the program tonight, we will all give five picks, and then our one pick for the what do you say that was called?
The TikTok reel.
It's a good name for a TikTok channel, On the Reel.
There you go. So we will get to those here at the end of the program. I thought we could start tonight because we are in the midst of the World Series. We are recording this on Wednesday for a variety of reasons, one of which is that the World Series game on Monday night lasted till damn near 3 o'clock in the morning. And by God, Tuna stayed up. Well, I think you said, and I'll let you explain exactly what happened. But long story short, you got like an hour of sleep and then had to go to work. And so we weren't going to force you to come in after a 1 hour of sleep and a long day of work. But we've got a great series going on, and we've got to talk about this game on Monday night. One of the all-time I gave up at 1:15. I couldn't do it anymore. And then I woke up about 4 thinking, well, gosh, I probably just barely missed the end of the game. And then I realized, hell, it had only been over for about an hour. But Tuna, let's talk about the series and let's talk specifically about the 18-inning classic we saw the other night.
Yeah, this is a replay from 2018 where the Dodgers and the Red Sox went at it in an 18-game slugout. Or 18-inning slugout. Yeah, here's how mine went. Like, I fought like hell. I was even up pacing and walking to keep myself from falling asleep. Commercial breaks were the killers because, like, you're locked in on every pitch. Yeah. And then it goes to a commercial in between innings. And you're just watching the same commercial that they played because I think they ran out of commercials.
They were doing Barstool.
Yeah, they played it over and over again. I'm like, I've seen this 500 times. And so I drifted off for about, I don't know, 30 minutes, I guess. And then I woke up and was able to be like, okay, we're still in it. Like, right. And then after I was up, it's like, all right, now I'm not even going to go to bed. I'm just going to sit in the chair and sleep here. Because if I went to bed, there's no way I was getting back up for work.
It did speed up and get crazy, and then it slowed down for a while.
Well, when it got to those extras,
yeah,
all the guys at bat just started going for the fences.
They were
like, we're going to end this right now. And these pitchers were just doing anything to give up home run balls, and that's what was going on. And, I mean, I've said it all year, like, the Dodgers' Achilles heel is their bullpen, and I still believe that.
You have been saying that all year.
I believe that. I mean,
now I know what you're saying because I've actually had time to watch both games. I watched last night's and the marathon.
And, well, the marathon, I was really impressed with the bullpen. They come out.
They did great.
And they did great. And Will Klein, especially, who comes in and closes out the last 4 innings, and – to think that Yamamoto threw a complete game the day before,
man.
And then he contacts Dave Roberts and is like, "Yeah, I'm ready to go if you need me. And he went to the bullpen and started warming up. I mean, he just threw 9 innings.
That's what Japanese pitchers do.
It's insane. I feel like if you're Blake Snell, you have to feel like kind of a wuss. Time off.
I got a good feeling about him tonight, though.
Yeah, I do too. But, no, I mean, it was phenomenal play after phenomenal play. And the Dodgers made some defensive errors in, like, the first 5 innings. Not errors, but, like, mishaps and mistakes. I'm telling you, like, one of the biggest key stretches in that game, I think, happened. It was the bottom of the 6th when Vladimir Guerrero made that double play throw.
Okay.
Which, that ball was on a rope. You know, Nolan Ryan was impressed by that.
You got to give Guerrero – keep going. You got to give Guerrero credit.
Roll it around to the top of the 7th with Guerrero's base running.
Dude.
Now, he goes all the way around the horn from first to score from
it's
first on that RBI.
It's not just hitting with him.
No, he's doing it all.
He's had an all-around game because that's what stood out to me. And, look, I don't know as much about the full game of baseball where all the little things like – that literally came into play in that game. By the end of the night, I was learning things that I had never known that was going on in a manager's mind, right down to the last player. And this is when Smoltz and them are on fire because they've got all these tidbits on everybody. But I did not know that Guerrero had base running skills like that, had throwing skill, or could play in the field like that.
Well, what
and
about
now
that?
I do.
That
I
steal that he had in the
buncher.
ALCS.
Yeah.
Like, where he dove and completely right. laid out head first.
Right.
Like, he, for a big body like that, man, he moves.
And he's just that presence in the locker room and in the dugout. And
yeah,
he's doing everything.
He's got, like, big Poppy vibes, how the whole team,
yeah,
like,
well,
loves him.
Well, him and Poppy, after I always watch the post-game show, and those two are tight.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. They're two the same,
yeah.
except he's a better fielder.
Right.
you know,
right.
he's a more talented Big Poppy. But and he hasn't
but
done
talk
any...
to me about Ohtani for a minute. I mean, we haven't even mentioned what he did in that game.
Well, yeah,
I mean, dude.
I mean, he starts out, he goes 4-for-4. He hits a home run, a double, a triple, and then a home run. And
still not,
you know,
sweating.
Right after the second home run, Travis texted in our group chat. He's like, why are they still pitching to him? Why? The manager,
just
you know.
Just walk him every time.
Yeah, I mean.
Who cares?
Toronto
well, yeah.
said, okay. That and meant, then that's what they
yeah,
did.
Eventually, they're just holding their fingers out. Four.
Yeah.
Well, and then
they threw at the end, like, okay, we're going to at least try to make it look halfway
well,
decent.
To reach base 9 times.
It's
like,
insane.
It's never happened before.
No,
and,
never
happened. No. And, you know,
unless
like,
it was, what did a guy named Isbell or something in 1907? Maybe that was a different
that
stat.
Was a different stat.
There's so many records that he's broke.
Yeah. But just to bring up the walking thing, I don't know if you guys remember this, but last year during the winter meetings, we may have even talked about it on the podcast. I can't remember. They mentioned one of the things they talked about was intentional walks. And where if you walk a guy one time, this is what they talked about making the rule. If you walk him, he goes to first. If you walk the same guy a second time, he goes to second base.
Oh, wow.
Same guy a third time, he goes to third. You do it a fourth, it's a run.
That's crazy. And I love that rule.
I kind of like it, too. And I
Where's
guarantee
that,
that was at the winter meetings it was brought up.
No way.
And I guarantee after that Monday night game, that gets a lot of discussion here in these winter meetings.
Dude,
because
the way he is.
People aren't staying up till 3 a.m. to watch Ohtani get walked.
No
You know
way.
What I mean?
I mean, dude, there's no way.
I mean, I'm the kind of guy that doesn't like all these new rules coming into baseball. But, like, after the rules come in, I kind of like them.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the giant bases I'm not a fan of. But, like,
I haven't
the
even
pitch
noticed
clock,
that.
Huge fan of the pitch clock. Like, just for example... The,
is the home plate bigger too or no?
No.
No.
It's the same.
Yeah, it's the same because of the strike.
Okay,
so,
that's what I figured.
But
duh.
The
No, strikes are a little bit wider now.
Yeah, Jesus. Guys getting their knees taken out. But so that's going to get some steam. But the pitch clock, they that 18 inning game from 2018 with no pitch clock. And they did the time that it took to get this game was 41 minutes shorter because of the pitch clock.
Oh,
so this game would have went till, you know, 3:30, almost
right.
4 a.m. Like, yeah. So, but all in all, man, this is such a dogfight of a World Series. Like, I felt going into Monday night that this World Series has probably seemed like it had less steam than any World Series. Nobody was talking about it. It was nowhere. Like, I know I cared about it because I'm a Dodger fan, but like the national media,
this is literally a World Series.
Oh, yeah.
You
but
know
like,
what I mean? I
yeah.
mean, think about it. Canada.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got Japan.
Yeah. I mean, well, Dominican Republic, everybody. But
everybody.
Yeah.
I
it's.
Mean,
but,
you know, Canada is good Lord. Have you seen that place? Mm. While they were here in L.A., it was insane.
I'm with you, but can you guys agree that there was, like, no buzz around this World Series
yes.
like, as it was happening?
Yeah. Because
last Friday and Saturday night, half people didn't even know that it was going on.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it was just – I know football kind of takes over on the weekends.
Right, right. Maybe it's because the Dodgers are trying to repeat and they were already
yeah,
there.
There's a lot of Dodger fatigue out there.
And it also, you know, there's no Yankees or Red Sox or a traditional, like, national brand.
Right, right.
You know, you have Toronto. Now, everybody in Canada, like, I saw the television ratings. It was like 20% of the country was watching game whatever.
Three?
the 18 inning game
yeah.
at its highest point, mm-hmm. like 20% of the country.
That's wild.
In. Yeah.
See, I think Monday gave this World Series life.
Yeah.
That Monday night, everybody realized that the World Series was going on. Yeah. And they're like, oh my God, this is awesome. Right. And so that's nice to see. We get everybody back on board, but it just felt like it was dead. And these games have been incredible from game one on. And
what did you think of game four?
Well,
I know you didn't like it, but
yeah,
you had to be a little bit shocked. I was totally shocked.
Well, I found it so impressive.
The team to come back. I thought you guys would just be like ready to go.
That's kind of where I was thinking. I was like, we got Shohei on the mound.
Yeah, and you know he's a freak, so it doesn't matter. You don't even worry about him.
No, I was like, he's on the mound. I was like, Toronto almost kind of has to feel broken a little bit because
of
that.
Yes.
And for them, those guys to come out, stay locked in, kind of get to Shohei. They got to Shohei
they
a bit.
Did. Well, hell. Yeah, I think that home run from Guerrero kind made everybody go,
yeah, it did.
Right, let's go.
And that's what he does, man. He changes the course of games.
But I've jotted down some guys that I really thought were incredible when I was watching this game. Mm. Banda, Jimenez, Clement, Varso, and Barger. I don't even know who
Barger,
these guys are. Yeah. Barger. But, I mean, hell, this Clement guy's on a 10-game hit streak.
Yeah.
These guys in the middle that I don't have any. Who's that little
Ernie
short
Clement.
Dude? The little bitty dude.
No, that's the guy, the catcher.
He's a maniac, too.
Alejandro Kirk may be one of my favorite baseball players. He's a great catcher behind the mound.
Yeah.
He's a little pudgy
guy. Crazy little character.
And he gets up and he just smacks the ball. He's so good at making contact with the ball. Everybody from their one hole to their nine hole is a tough out, man. Like, even their 7, 8, 9 guys have really been touching the ball throughout these playoffs,
right.
And that's what's made them so tough.
That catcher has 5 home runs this postseason.
Yeah.
Which ties him for the most ever by a catcher in one postseason.
And I don't think anyone knows Jimenez was an all-star.
Yeah.
And he was. I remember that because I watched the game.
Yeah, they did lose George Springer.
Yeah, and Springer's hurt.
Out.
That's another thing. You think without Springer, you're like, where are they going to get their offense from?
Well, it's
that's
the baseball gods cursing him a little bit.
But what I really noticed that surprised me the most was their bullpen in this game. And that's when I was texting you like, man, this Hoffman guy's a freaking animal.
Mm-hmm.
The guy after him. That has like the brand new looking hat, big old dude. Man, some of those guys just pitched incredible. And I thought, all right, here's where they're going to let down and choke. You know what I mean? Or not choke, but here's where the Dodgers are going to get them right here.
Hoffman's got that fastball. You talk about Hoffman, he's got that fastball that just sinks a little bit, just enough to piss you off.
Yeah.
And
man,
it's like it sinks right at the right time. Yeah, and he's got a nice slider, too.
I trust him. Gosh, man, I just have full faith when he's pitching that no one's going to hit a double or a dinger off of him.
And that's the thing. Throughout these playoffs, the Dodgers' bullpen hasn't really been exposed because the starting pitching has been going on so much. The longer this series goes, the more we're going to be relying on these guys, and that gets a little scary. And you got Alex Vesia, who's probably one of our top relievers. He's out right now dealing with a family health issue. So not having him's big.
I didn't know that.
Bond has really stepped up. Blake Treinen has not been his best. Roki Sasaki has not looked good lately. So it's
let's give a shout out to Bloomington, Indiana's own
Will
Klein.
We did talked about him earlier.
And, you know, you really got to do something special to get me to acknowledge somebody from Bloomington North. But that's pretty special what he did the other night. So, Bloomington North Cougars, enjoy your moment in the sun, because I know from an athletic standpoint you don't get them very often.
He was our last pitcher up. Like, we were about to start going to positional guys if it wasn't for Yamamoto saying I'm going to go to the bullpen.
They said you all
but he
were
went
down.
In there and he closed out the last four innings,
that's
and it was
crazy.
Just to hold it down the way he did. It was incredible, man.
I felt like the Blue Jays sent those guys a little early in that, not in three, but I'm reverting back to both games.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I mean? Don't you feel like a couple of those guys were sent a little early when they got tagged out at home?
Yeah, there's been some rough base running.
But what about – you got to tell me about, since we're reverting to both games, how cool was it to see Kershaw come out, dude? Like that – I was so glad that I know from a lot of people, they're like, oh, yeah, I fell asleep after Kershaw.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that here in a minute when we get into predictions for tonight.
But that was super cool.
No, it was. Anyway, it puts us in a situation where tonight I feel like is a must win, maybe for both teams. Definitely for the Dodgers, because you don't want to have to go have to win two games in Toronto.
Right.
And that atmosphere up there has just been electric.
Right, they didn't want to go back, and now they are, and you don't want to lose the first one.
So,
by the way, a funny stat that I heard while I was listening to the post-game show, and I know other people may have heard it, but Blue Jays, 49 comebacks, 43 of them came after they allow a first-inning run.
Mm-hmm.
So they've had 49 comebacks after they're down. That most of the major leagues. So that is a crazy stat of a resilient team
now. No, it is.
But you all have the best team, so let's play ball.
All right, tonight, Tuna, what's going to happen tonight?
All right, this is what's going to happen. We're going to get six strong, solid innings from Blake Snell. Mm-hmm. To start the seventh inning, Clayton Kershaw is going to come running out of the bullpen to close his career out and pitch just an amazing three innings to close this game out.
Okay.
That's what's going to happen. I think we get – he got one out the other night. He's fresh. Blake Snell, he just pitched on Friday. Okay. You know what I mean? I know he's good to go, but, like, this is the fifth day, right? So – I'm expecting six from him, and I feel like a fresh Kershaw is going to come out. And he hasn't really pitched at all, except for that one out in the postseason.
Right.
And this is how he ends his career.
That would be pretty awesome.
That's, dude, all the times that Kershaw, who we all agree is a unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh,
there's
easily,
no question.
Of course.
For all the flack that he took for 15 close to 20 years of his career, was he cannot win the big games in the playoffs.
Right, right.
Can't win the big games in the playoffs.
Remember.
You take banging trash cans out of it, he wins that game in 2017 and shuts him up.
True.
But either way, he's had that stigma his whole career. And then, like, we got the COVID year, the 2020 one, but that really didn't count. Last year he contributed, but he wasn't, like, really there. I think tonight he comes out of the bullpen and he goes out with, like, just an epic performance at Dodger Stadium. And the send-off is just way too electric, and I love it.
Okay.
That would make me happy, too.
That's all I want. That's how I want him to put a stamp on his career.
And, you know, selfishly for me, I know you don't want this. You want to close it out as quickly as possible. Mm. But I want a game seven, damn it.
Mm.
I want this series to go seven games.
If
know?
My team's not involved, I'm totally with you guys. But, like, game sevens in the World Series are a completely wild animal, dude.
Yes.
Because everything happens.
Yep.
Oh, so. Yeah. I mean, look at the Cubs-Indians.
Oh, God. One of the best. Oh, God. Dude, that was insane.
So, we've got...
I don't know if my heart can take a game seven.
Well, it'll be a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, that you don't want to talk about a... Well, I mean, it happened with me with the NBA Finals this last year. Of course, I mean, I hope... I'm not even going to say what I hope. I don't want to put it into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
But you know what happened to the Pacers in game seven.
Absolutely.
Which kind of, you know, I was so nervous and on edge about that for 24 hours or whatever it was. And then after about 12 minutes, it was like, oh, it's over, you know. Yeah. But when it's your team in a win or win and lose scenario, there's nothing like it, but there's nothing more nerve-rattling as a sports fan. So.
Not at all.
So, yeah, so we got a great World Series. Can't wait for that to roll on, continuing tonight. But let's get into some football talk. We are mostly at this time of year, we talk college football. And the big story before we get into any of the games, and I hate that I'm going to have to retire the accent, gentlemen.
Maybe.
Well, I'm going to have to maybe reboot the accent for when he ends up going somewhere else. But the Southern gentleman, Brian Kelly, is no longer the head coach at LSU. A couple of things that I found interesting. Now, we've all talked about, you know, you've heard rumblings about Brian Kelly. We know nationally he's been involved in some, well, I mean, a kid got killed on his watch, you know. But I did find it interesting that after he was fired, there were way more, like, former players, former assistants coming out and burying the guy. Like, usually you won't get much of that publicly. Now, you talk to somebody privately, you might get some of that. I thought one of the funniest stories, and you guys probably read this, but was when Robert Saleh and Matt LaFleur's were assistant coaches for him at Central Michigan. Mm-hmm. And they got invitation to his Christmas party. And
I didn't read this one. I don't know this one.
And they were like, man, that is so cool, coach, to invite us to the party and everything. And they, you know, got dressed up and went to the party. And when they got there, one of Brian Kelly's guys said, okay, here's two shovels. We need this parking lot cleared out. And then when the cars start arriving, you guys are the valets.
It's just like to America, where they go to McDowell's house and they got them valet parking and bartending.
Yeah. Yep. So I thought that was crazy. I've heard a lot of other people who were like, I was a player for him. He loved me. And then I got hurt, wasn't going to be able to play anymore. He never spoke another word to me, wouldn't even look at me in the office type of thing. Like, I've literally have
didn't
not...
reach out to, what was it, Lacey's family?
Yeah, yep.
After he, you know,
he had a kid that ended up becoming paralyzed. He never reached out to his family. He said all the assistants did, but Kelly never did. It's just story after story after story. I have yet to hear one person come out and go, you know, Coach Kelly was great. Was great to me, and I really owe a lot to him. One of the guys, one of his former players said, you know, he never cared about the letters LSU on his helmet. He said the only two letters he cares about are B and K. And I just thought that was fascinating because, I mean, he's like universally despised, I think, by everyone.
I mean, he's an awful dude. Like, we... when he
saw him eating tacos the day alone.
I did see that.
I mean, like, I've heard that he's only in it. He's not into coaching for the love of coaching. He's in it for the money and himself and the ego. But when he got hired on down there, I don't think there's one person. I don't know an LSU fan that was happy about that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody was just kind of like, well, he did pretty good at Notre Dame. Let's see what he's got. Like, that was the most positive. And I just I think everybody knew that it wasn't going to work, like, right away.
Well, yeah, we were all started making fun of it the second he came out in the
basketball
in the basketball game and pulled that.
And he's going to be somewhere, so he's going to be coaching somewhere.
I hope he goes to UCLA and, like, picks up the like surfer dude accent.
That's what I my kind of stole my thunder.
Damn it, man. I didn't know. I had no idea.
How did you all steal each other's thunder?
I had no idea.
At the end of the show for my Around the Room, I was thinking about doing it in Bodie Brah voice for Brian Kelly. Because
That's shit all over that.
I think that...
sorry, little Neuheisel, bro.
But, you know, and he could end up at a place like that. He's never going to get a premier job again. Like, that ship has sailed for him. But maybe he can go to a place like UCLA and bring them back to some level of...
I think Wisconsin's a great place for him.
No, they deserve better than that.
And they would hate him
there.
Man, you got to be a man of the people to coach at Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm with you. UCLA, you can just be the biggest asshole in the world. Nobody would even know.
Yeah, like they don't care.
No, they just really, it's complete apathy with that program, and that's honestly a good fit for them.
Yeah, and so, I mean, there's, I hadn't really thought about, I had seen that this morning was the only reason that I thought about the, doing the accent, but I hadn't thought of it.
Well, do us one right now.
Until this morning. No, I'm not going to do
that. Not
going
to do it.
But that would make sense for him. Of course, if he's not in it for the, maybe it's an ego thing, but Jesus, he's got, you know, what, $60 million or whatever dollars that if he doesn't want to coach, he can go play golf every single day, which apparently he kind of did while he was coaching at LSU anyway.
Here's the thing. If you look back at it, you can kind of see why he left Notre Dame for LSU. LSU had the athletic director that gave Jimbo Fisher the massive buyout.
Right.
So he figured if he goes to LSU, his agent will get him one of those massive buyouts. And even if it doesn't work out, it's a win-win.
Yep.
Because you have ultimate resources, ultimate talent pool to choose from. And if it doesn't work out, you're going to get a massive payday. And I don't think his Notre Dame buyout was near anything
I'm
close
sure
to
it
that.
Wasn't. And did you see that the governor of Louisiana came out this afternoon and said the current athletic director will not be making the next head coaching decision? He said, we will not again trod down the path of failure.
Which is wild. Could you imagine Andy Brashear being
no!
Kentucky, you're not going to fire Stoops, the buyout's too much.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. But so anyway, that was the big kind of national story, Brian Kelly fired. Let's talk about a couple of the games last week. I wanted to start out in a game that we kind of had a split in the room last week on how we thought it was ended up being a dogfight. And I mean, if you like good hard-nosed defensive play, and just like you said, Missouri, I'm talking, of course, about the Missouri-Vanderbilt game. Missouri did not allow Pavia to do his usual Pavia act. Vanderbilt was extremely physical on defense, as they have been all year. Prabula gets hurt on a fourth and goal, and I believe that was at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes down, you know, Vandy gets one good drive going. Pavia scores on a scramble, and then they sag into prevent defense. Missouri backup quarterback and all gets the ball to whatever it was, the 45-yard line. Heaves the Hail Mary. The kid catches it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he falls backwards 3 inches, it's a touchdown. If he's able to reach the ball back 3 inches,
yeah,
it's a touchdown.
I'm surprised the guy with his knees by him, his shins, didn't, like, push him forward, but yeah.
He lands, like, literally 4 to 5 inches short of the goal line.
That was former Cardinal Kevin Coleman.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
And Vandy escapes with another just tremendous win. They've won games in a lot of different ways this year. And I'll tell you what's starting to happen to Vanderbilt. What's starting to happen to Vanderbilt is what I started feeling with Indiana towards the end of last season and has escalated this year. Before, when something bad would happen in a Vanderbilt game, they make a bad turnover, there's a bad call against them, you know, somebody gets hurt, you just had this feeling in your gut, well, this game's over. This team's going to fold. I mean, I've been following Vandy football closely for 20 years, Indiana football closely for a lot longer than that. And last season, I started feeling about Indiana, and it manifested itself this year in the Oregon game. When Mendoza threw that pick six and the game was tied, I actually turned to Colin, and I said, they're going to go right down the field and score, and they're going to win this game. And my entire life, I would have turned the TV off and said, this game's over. But Vandy is starting to get that belief. mm-hmm. and they're winning games with their defense, and they're winning games when Pavia gets off. And they've got a real opportunity this weekend. They play Texas, a real opportunity to put the nail in Texas's coffin and to really position themselves as a legit, legit playoff team.
I'm kind of at my wit's end with Pavia. Like, all right, I get it. He's a gamer and he makes big plays in big situations. So I'm never going to take that away from him. But as a Vanderbilt fan, like, he has to be one of the most frustrating players to watch, right? Like, because what's it like his name, like the way the national media props him up, you would think he's going out there and throwing for 350 every week. Right. He hasn't thrown for over 200,
no.
but in like a couple games this
year. I think as a fan, and that's interesting that you brought that up because I was reading some of the Vanderbilt social media people that I follow.
I'm saying his name has no business near the Heisman Trophy.
I would agree with that.
Okay. I think it's because it's Vandy.
Well,
but we can't do that.
But it is.
Yeah.
I mean.
But here's what he has brought to that, and why every Vanderbilt fan, I think, will fight to the death for him, is that, I mean, they have a lot of good players. They have a great head coach. They got a lot of good assistant coaches.
I totally agree. That defense has a lot of really good players.
But Pavia has crystallized and become the face of this turnaround. Mm. And he has made... And he does it in a very entertaining fashion. You know, he's got that Johnny Football streak in him. I agree. I mean, as a quarterback, like
Johnny Football, like that's another thing. I've heard that comparison before, and it's like that was one of the best college football players I'd ever seen.
But I'm speaking from a
attitude,
a flash, a give no shits. Mm-hmm. Like no matter what we think, no matter what the play on, and I've said this.
Yeah, he thinks he's the best
for 2 years.
Yeah.
He thinks he's the best football player on the planet, and that's how he plays. And I think that's how he has to play in order to be effective. I totally agree. I mean, he's not going to win any punt, pass, and kick competitions. He's not a tremendously accurate thrower. He doesn't have a great arm. He has a knack for making big plays in big moments in ball games, and then he has that. I mean, he's a kind. If he plays for your team, you love him, and if he plays for your team, you hate his guts.
I guess where I'm at with this is like I can name probably 20 other quarterbacks that I would put at Vanderbilt over him, and I think Vanderbilt is maybe a better offensive team all around than what they are.
Yeah, you know that's interesting, and I. That may very well be true, but I also think that you cannot and from all accounts, he's a tremendous leader. He's a tremendous teammate. You know, coaches love him. His players love him. And I'm not sure, first of all, you weren't going to get any of those other 20 quarterbacks.
Well, maybe. Some of these guys are at some weird schools, you know, like, but.
And
anyway.
He was a perfect storm, perfect fit for a team that, let's be honest, if Vanderbilt was good and, you know, was having good season or whatever, they wouldn't get near, you know, the Vandy Pimp King and all that stuff. Like, nationally.
No, he's made it fun.
It gives
for sure.
them an identity, and it gives people a reason to either watch because I want to see this guy do well, or watch because I want to see this guy get spiked into the turf on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
Like he's done that. And we can argue and look, I get it. There's going to be a lot of like, what are they? Pavia fatigue. I think you
I'm
said
already
Dodger,
having
I think
it.
You said Dodger fatigue. There's going to be a lot of that. But as somebody that sat through 20 years of miserable Vanderbilt football for the most part, I'm enjoying every second of it, and I hope they beat all these national big brands every game they play. And I hope they go down to Texas and just stick it to them.
Yeah, anytime I can watch Texas lose, I'm kind of for it. So, and I don't, like, hate Pavia, and I don't love Pavia. He's just kind of there, and, like, he is an entertaining guy. I guess I guess I kind of have the Pavia fatigue. Like,
I think the biggest
I'm sick of the national media talking about
him. In that game is Missouri quarterback gone. They're probably done.
Yeah, they're done. They're out.
So
Missouri,
I think that's the story in this game.
He's not hurt as bad as what we thought. He's questionable, I think, to play this week.
I heard he was out this week.
As of yesterday, I think they said questionable. That may have changed.
Yeah, is John Harbaugh putting out the injury reports?
They gotta have him.
Yes, I'll look. I don't know who they play this week.
Texas.
No, that's who Vandy
that's
plays.
Vandy, I mean, they may be on a bye.
Well, if they're on a bye, that could help them a lot.
Most definitely.
Because yes, he's the motor that makes them go. They are in fact on a bye.
Now, they can still win with defense and Ahmad Hardy running the ball. And the Zollers kid, like Travis mentioned earlier, he didn't look bad. He actually had better stats than Prabula for that game, but it was a different style of defense he was facing when he put those stats up.
I don't know.
So, yeah, I'd much rather have Prabula for sure going forward.
Yes, definitely.
I feel like they had to win that game. I feel like that was a play-out game.
Well, and they come off the bye, and they're at Texas A&M, so good luck.
Yeah, they're done.
Good luck with that. Ole Miss, you know, got down early, came back.
Tennis still don't like this team.
At Oklahoma.
They keep winning.
And they moved to 7-1. And
I would say they're probably in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, now Lane Kiffin is
But now Lane Kiffin's name's coming up, and there's going to be some
for every coaching job
there. You know what I mean? You know how the chirping starts and all that to a team like that? I can see it really getting to
I mean, that's half the teams in college football if we're going to worry about that.
You're right.
I mean, look at the entire AAC. Every coach down there pretty much is getting, like, mentioned for new jobs and, you know, all the way across. So it's I think Lane will be fine with that kind of stuff, with that kind of rat poison, as you would say. But I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's staying put at Ole Miss. I really do. Call me crazy, but.
I do, too. He's a Southern – he's a guy that needs to be in the South. Florida, if anybody, or LSU.
I want
one of those two.
Ask you guys this question real quick while we're talking about coaches and movement. How happy do you think Dan Lanning is at Oregon? Because there has been some scuttlebutt about his name getting kicked around at LSU.
Well, I mean, you know he wants to be in the South.
Exactly.
I guess everybody has money. Everybody has money. Get it.
Right. And how about Will Stein moves up?
Yeah.
And that
stays at Oregon.
God, I hope that's the case.
That very well could happen because Oregon is always, at least while Nike, what's his name, Phil Knight, at least while he's still funding the athletic program up there, they have like NIL money like you can't imagine. So it's not – and they have great facilities and all that. I get they're not
– I think it's the recruiting pool in the South as opposed to the West Coast recruiting pool.
Right, no,
I think Lanning's kind of like, I've done what I can do with West Coast guys. I need to get some big Southern meat
and
up here.
He can get that better cocaine on the West Coast.
No, that's true.
And maybe it wouldn't turn his face red and make him smack his lips quite as much. Like it did after that Penn State game.
Right. Whatever gives you an edge, baby.
I think his lips were white during that Wisconsin game, too. God dang.
Waiting for a snow game. Maybe he goes to Penn State.
Oh, well, you know, I didn't know that Oregon was allowed to use rain as an excuse. Sure as hell wasn't able to use it in Alabama, Florida State, I can tell you that. Ole Miss, next four games, Cox, Citadel, Florida, and Mississippi State.
They're
going
to
win out.
They're in.
Although
the Egg Bowl could be tricky.
Oh, Egg Bowl could be huge. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I did not mean to look past that game.
No. I will.
That
never,
is a crazy game.
I will never say that.
Did I just look past the Egg Bowl?
You did.
I was about to jump right in there.
I'm hammering Mississippi State.
Any
now.
Possible thing can happen in that game, and usually does.
Oh, for sure.
And a lot of times it's the team that has no business being in the ball game.
It's right there when Tuna's pulling that wishbone.
Well, it's not on Thanksgiving anymore. They took that away from us.
I know. What a joke.
It's on Friday at noon this year, the day after Thanksgiving.
But dude, they manhandled that Oklahoma was not able to really – their defensive line surprised me. That I just think some about Oklahoma, just they're not what they were – in a couple of those games when we watched them. And here again, the game when we saw their O-line get off or their D-line get off and look great, they were playing LSU.
Well, that John Mateer is not making these, amazing plays that he was.
Still hurt or something?
Something's
not right.
Going on with him because those first four weeks, he was doing amazing stuff with the football.
He was doing shit up in the air, jumping up and stuff.
He's a different player right now.
Yeah, something's up there.
And, Fred, I wanted to give you a little bit of ample time. We were watching this game together over at your house. It didn't look good for a long time.
No.
And we know that South Carolina, when things get rolling down there at night against a big time,
quarterback's tough.
Against a big time team, things can get weird, and things got weird, but Alabama found a way to win a game that they had to have.
If Ty Simpson makes it to New York for the Heisman, which I would be surprised if he did even right now, I know that sounds strange because a lot of people are telling me different, then he earned a lot of it Saturday. And I think Reed may have moved himself up to being invited there. Marcel Reed, is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Texas
A&M. But, dude, the thing that really gets me about Bama is, dude, our offensive line either looks like the second coming of Bama 2019 or 2015, some of those great, great Bama teams, or 2008, 2009, Or they look like total dog shit.
Yeah.
I do not know what is going on with the offensive line. I mean, they were bum rushing us like Lawrence Taylor.
Here's one thing I'll give South Carolina. I don't like this team at all. We were down on them early. The one thing I will give them, they have a very physical and dominant defensive front line.
Yeah.
Like, I give them credit for that. You know, was it Dylan Stewart or what the big defensive end who's going to be in college again next year, which is crazy.
Right, I know.
Because he would be, I think, the first overall pick in this year's draft.
So I've got a mark. Teams that have a agile quarterback and have a big defensive line are the teams I'm looking for coming up soon that are going to give us fits. Because those are the two things that are happening. However, what is great about what Bama's done is our quarterback's cool as a cucumber. Those two drives were unbelievable. They were money all the way down the field. And then, you know, we kind of lucked out with Lawson stripping Reed. I almost thought he was almost down right then. And I think he thought they were going to blow the whistle, and they didn't. But we still could have lost that game. But it really is a telltale sign that our offensive coordinator and DeBoer have a rapport with this guy, Simpson, and the team, look, this is the drive we need. I mean, it's happened in four games now where we have this drive that goes down and decides the football game. So,
and I just want to say,
We're either going to keep doing that or we're going to run out of gas on it sometime.
Well, that's where I'm getting at. Bama's been through the gauntlet here these past couple weeks. Like, the schedule that they've played over, like, the past 4 or 5 weeks, at some point you have to be a little worn down, man.
Right.
And, like, this was – I think they looked a little worn down in this game.
Yeah, I think
so, too. And then to still get the win, like, that's what's crazy is they keep doing it week in and week out against really good competition.
Yeah. And I think they knew that bye was coming. They had the bye now. And they were just trying to get there.
Exactly.
Like,
this is a much welcomed bye. Like, having a bye scheduled right now in week 10 is, I mean, that's massive.
And
Louisville
got
theirs
right
in the first 4 weeks.
Yeah, right before LSU. And you knew, and that's another thing with LSU. Of course they're going to let your boy go right before the bye.
I don't think you got much to worry
about. It doesn't
matter.
I know. Yeah. It doesn't. It doesn't.
That makes no difference.
But anyways, trudge on. Trudge on.
Let me get back to the...
And we still can't run the ball. Daniel Horton, the freshman, did a lot of great things catching the ball, but I don't know.
That's not from a lack of personnel. That's just you guys have very boring run packages.
We do.
There's nothing, like, drawn up that's
no,
like...
he just...
Nothing looks fancy when you're trying to run the ball. It's just like, we're going to do this.
We're going straight.
Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah.
Well, that's also how Jam Miller runs. He just he's not that.
Oh, but even not even Jam Miller, like Orton and all the like, yeah, like get these guys a little bit.
Orton caught like 7 balls for 50, 60 yards.
Yeah, that's the way. Those extended handoffs is what they call them, where the little short passes.
And we've got that play where Bernard does the wildcat now, which is a pretty good play.
Any way to get the ball in his hands is good.
Anyways, that was a close one, man.
Group of six becomes even more interesting. Memphis knocks off USF to give USF their second loss.
Huge, huge game. 34-31, freaking awesome.
Memphis now sitting at 7-1. And
I've got all my research on Group of Five right here. I did a whole thing on
it. Let's have it.
Well, I don't want to get into it too long, but my number one Group of Five team right now, and I went down the list, is Navy. But let me tell you something. You want to see? Listen to this.
Their schedule
Here's
gets
Navy's
brutal.
Next five games.
Yeah.
North Texas, Notre Dame, South Florida, Memphis, and Army.
That's the thing.
Dude, come on.
The AAC teams, they're all going to eat each other alive.
Oh, my God. They are. However, if I keep going, Memphis is my next one. They're 7-1. Their loss was UAB. Memphis has Rice, Tulane, and Navy. So there you go. Tuna, you just said it. Tulane looks like the best team. Tuna's choice at the beginning of the year. They're 6-1. Their only loss is Ole Miss, who's going to make the playoff. They're 3-0 in their conference, and they only have Memphis left.
Yep.
They will beat everybody else. North Texas still has a couple. They've got another gauntlet, like you said. UAB's even playing better now. James Madison, 7-1, 5-0.
That team does not deserve to be in the
playoffs. I know they don't, but they are the only other team. I don't guess who the one
give
team
me a
have
three
left.
Lead, three. I know they've got an easy.
You
schedule.
Know who it is? No, but they have one other team left that can beat them. Who do you think it is?
They already played Old Dominion.
Washington State.
Oh yeah. Okay.
They have played everybody. Washington State.
Yeah, now they have quit running two quarterbacks, and the one quarterback that they're going with now, I think he's got like over 900 yards in the last
Tuesday
three games.
Night.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're putting up big numbers now.
Yeah.
But still, that fan base doesn't deserve to win.
No,
none of
I get it.
Yeah.
I don't even think Travis likes them either.
No.
No.
I don't really have any feeling one way or
the
other.
I would take a three-loss AAC team over
– well. I'm
going to
give
Madison.
You my next four, and then I'll shut up. But San Diego State is my seventh. They're 6-1, 3-0. Their only loss is Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
But they have Hawaii, Boise. They've still got a couple tough ones. Boise State has a chance. Now, they're 6-2. Their losses are South Florida, Notre Dame. Their only big battle is San Diego State.
Mm.
I think Boise can move up there. And believe it or not, I just want to name the last two. Hawaii, who's having a great season.
Yeah.
6-2, 3-1. They lost to Arizona and Fresno. They've got another tough schedule on through. And UNLV, whose only loss is to Boise. But UNLV has Utah State and Hawaii. They could slide in there because those aren't necessarily hard games. Those are games they can win, Travis. So there's your Group of Five list. I think Tulane and Tulane is looking like the team that's going to get in there.
It is, and it's going to come down to that AAC championship game.
And they deserve it, by God.
If it gets to that AAC championship game and they lose that game, and like say you're James Madison or you're San Diego State, they win their unfortunately, I think they're going to leapfrog.
Yeah, maybe.
And right. it sucks. Yeah. Because I really think that, like, those three AAC teams of Memphis, South Florida,
I think
and
it's
Tulane,
whoever wins that Memphis,
those are the three best teams in the group
whoever
of five.
Whoever wins that Memphis-Tulane game coming up.
Yeah. Memphis,
because you know they play again. Yeah, they still play.
Yeah, Memphis it's has a tough up. Game coming up, I believe. Don't
do you
they?
Think
Memphis has Rice and Tulane? And
Rice
Navy.
Has been playing people pretty good.
Do you think?
Yeah, they have, and I'm taking Memphis though on this one, but I'm worried about Rice.
Do you
at
think
home.
Barry Odom is having second thoughts about leaving Las Vegas first of all to move to West freaking Lafayette, Indiana?
Yeah, I mean,
and then they may have the worst Power Four team in the United States, and the place that he just left,
thank you
that
for
he
Belichick.
That he built up, is, you know, having a great year again.
And what's crazy is the amount of momentum that UNLV's getting locally. Like those, that stadium's filling out.
Yeah,
and like there's buzz around UNLV football. Like they. Or buying into that out there. I guess because the Raiders suck so bad.
Probably.
Yeah, so they're like, probably. We're all in on this. I think they played games at Allegiant, right? Or, no, I know they don't play games, but I think they have played a game or two there.
Now, I don't – you know what? I don't know because I don't think they use their campus stadium.
No. So I guess – I don't know.
Anymore. But anyway, I thought about that the other day when Purdue had another just disastrous loss. Yeah. To Rutgers at home.
Rutgers is playing better.
Well, they've won what? One, I think that was their first Big Ten win.
By the way, Navy is the only group of five that's undefeated, and they are not ranked, which is quite funny to me. But they haven't really played anybody good yet.
That's what I'm saying. They're backloaded.
They're backloaded.
The way that they play, I think that's going to hurt them.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're barely skimming through their teeth right now winning games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, quickly, we touched on Oregon. Dante Moore got his face broken.
Yeah. Third quarter, though. No excuse.
Pouring down rain.
No excuse for Oregon to play horrible. 7-0 at halftime. Give me a break already.
Louisville one, I mean, that's all we can say about the Louisville game. Tuna, you have anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, it's nice seeing Isaac Brown, like, back. Well, he was Doak Walker,
thank God.
Player of the week.
Thank God.
Yeah, exactly. He's leading the nation in yards per carry. He's got 650 yards, and that's with two games hurt. So it's not like we need that, and thank God that's there. So other than that, it was just ugly. It was trashy. There was – thank God it's over.
Yes. You just had to win, and they did. Kentucky gets their ass kicked again. Mm-hmm. They put up 34 points.
It's the easiest spread ever in college football.
Yeah, you said it was going to be 20 points, and you undersold it by two.
Yeah, we also called Cincinnati blasting Baylor 41-20. That is the first win that Cincinnati has on the road that tells me.
Well, I was at home.
Was it at home?
Yep.
Oh, shit. Okay, I didn't know that. My bad.
But, I mean, you know.
But that's a win that tells me they're pretty good.
They beat Iowa State.
Yeah, you're right, but I thought that was just a Satterfield lucky win, Ohio State.
I think
Iowa
holding
State
Baylor to 20
of.
Points is what's incredible.
It is.
Because Baylor can put
it
some
is.
Points up.
And now, we're going to talk about them here in a little while, and it's going to be a different story maybe.
And really, that's I think that's about it. Well, let's move on.
Only one other game I wanted to give a shout-out to was
BYU.
Houston.
Oh, Houston.
BYU.
Yeah, BYU.
Houston having a good win over an Arizona State that just had a big win.
Mm-hmm.
And for Houston to go there and win
and
cover and go 7-1 is huge.
Big 12's a damn good conference,
Big
man.
Big 12 is a damn good
I
conference.
I know people laugh about it, but there's a national championship contender in that conference. Maybe, I don't know about two. There's one at least.
Dude, yeah. What? The Big 12
they're,
are
it's competitive
asses.
As hell. Yeah.
They are. Dude, if you think about it, they if you look at every team in the Big 12, and I went down, I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
There's
many,
no real pushover.
BYU, Cincy, Texas Tech, Houston, Utah, TCU.
Central Florida's probably the worst team in that league.
Right. Right now they are.
Yeah.
And Baylor's flailing a little bit. But TCU, I thought they were flailing. They're 6-2 right now and 4-0 in the conference.
No, put some respect on Big 12's name. And real quick, I know we're going long right now. I want to bring this up real quick. there was in the offseason, there was talks about the Big Ten and the ACC or the SEC saying, hey, we're going to do four automatic bids from the SEC, four automatic bids from the Big Ten, two from the ACC, two from the Big 12. And it got shut down. But let me ask a question. If that was the case, who's the fourth Big Ten team in the playoff?
I mean, I'm looking at
Iowa
right here. Iowa.
I thought I was going to sneak up on you guys with that because I think Iowa, of all the other teams.
Well, they can get in there. Yeah.
Iowa's very good.
I think they are playing the best football of all the lesser,
right.
Not the top. The top.
And you're right, and their quarterback has to stay healthy. They can win on the road. Iowa doesn't just have to win at home. They're good, better than that. But I'll tell you also, watch out for Washington. They're 6-2.
But
6-2, why, 4-1 on the road, 2-1 on the road.
The reason I brought that up is, as of right now.
I know what you're saying.
The Big Ten doesn't deserve four playoff teams as of right now.
I agree.
If the season ended right now. So that's why that can never happen.
Hey, next week,
yeah,
after the bye week, if Iowa beats Oregon, guess what Freddie called a long time ago? Oregon might not make the playoff.
And I think the Big 12.
You know I'm pulling for Iowa's biggest fan in that game.
The Big 12 has three teams that I think could definitely be in the playoff.
Oh, yeah. And you look, now Kansas State's starting to play better. They're starting to come out of the woodwork.
Anyway, it's crazy.
No, and dude, Utah is just blowing teams out right now.
I know.
And then you look at some of the smart conferences like Mountain West, the Mid-American. Folks, don't bet the Mid-American. Their best team is 5-3. Like some of these other conferences are just
We don't need to talk about the Mid-American Conference.
No.
No, we're not going to talk about
the
Pac-2.
We need to move on to this week's games. Or this
y'all
is gonna
get
be a,
me excited.
This is going to be a four-hour podcast.
Yeah, and tonight's not the night for that.
No. So we're just going to kind of run down the top 25, the big games that have some sort of implication. We'll start with a game that I mentioned before. It's noon. It's in Austin. It's Vanderbilt at 7-1 with an opportunity to knock Texas straight out of the playoffs. Texas is a 2.5-point favorite in this ball game. What do you guys think?
I have no idea what to think about this game. I have no idea. I'd love to see Vandy kick
their
ass.
Is their quarterback playing? Arch, didn't he have a concussion? Did he leave
Man,
with a concussion?
That's been the weirdest thing ever. I don't know. He was out, but he came right back in, right? And then he left again. I don't really know, and I don't really care. I don't think their quarterback – it could be me or you back there quarterbacking. I don't think that's going to change the way Texas plays. It's their defense, and it's just is what it is. And they're ugly football every time they're on the field. They find little cheap, easy ways – or not easy, but little weird ways to win, and they keep winning again
somehow.
You know,
I was watching our boy Stu today.
Yeah.
And Stu's buddy, I won't name names, but I thought he had a great stat, and I'm going to replay it. Do you know that Texas – this is their first home game in 3 weeks in the SEC. They've been on the road 3 weeks. No one else, and I did some research behind that, has pulled that off. Mm-hmm. And they are now at home, guys, home sweet home. And that's a great stat that I heard today.
I think they could play this game on the moon and it wouldn't matter. To be honest with you,
I think that Texas can win this game.
I do too.
I'd
love to see Vandy kick the crap out of them.
Vandy seems like they're just skimming through. Now, look, I know Vandy's a great football team. I know that they are put together well. I know that they are playing better than Texas for sure. But just the thought of Texas getting home, getting back into the swing of things, and maybe regrouping is the only thing that scares me. You know, I'm an SEC feel guy on how these games feel. It's not based on the numbers or analytics or anything. I just have, and I had a feeling about LSU and A&M, and that game was close for a while, but A&M did what they always do. Bam.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, guys.
I say we move on from Texas.
It's
going to
be close.
I don't really care about this game.
Okay. That's
there's not
there's one big game that's an elimination game this week, and that's Oklahoma and Tennessee.
And see, yeah. I could care less about either one of those two teams.
It kills one of their seasons. Whoever loses is out of the playoff
picture.
Tennessee's
going to win that big.
Okay. All right.
And I'm betting it, and it's happening.
Josh Heupel against his old team. I don't know.
It's a night game, and they're doing that.
Blackout.
What do they call it? Like the dark night or whatever.
The way Oklahoma's playing, that may be one of my locks. I mean, Tennessee, I just see Oklahoma losing by 14, 17.
But you're right. I mean, whoever loses this game,
this is an elimination game.
They're
in my
done.
Opinion. Yeah. That's the only thing that gives this game juice to where it becomes one of the best games.
But don't you think that the Vandy?
I almost feel like Ole Miss was
an Vandy
elimination
Texas game.
Is an elimination game.
Every game that Vandy plays in now is an elimination game.
Right.
I think Texas, even though they're not mathematically eliminated,
they're probably.
At them as a playoff team.
And
I look at Oklahoma and Tennessee both as teams with. You know, that could make the playoffs.
Like, if you looked at Texas resume and Iowa resume blindly,
very similar.
They're almost identical.
Yeah.
I think
Iowa's probably playing better right now. You know what I mean?
I do too.
And Oklahoma still has at Bama. There's no way they're going to do it. They're done.
Sneaky good game late night, which Freddie's going to love.
Yeah. 10-15 kick.
It's game day. Cincinnati travels to Utah.
To Utah, buddy. And let me tell you something. Sadie, you're in big trouble. Utah favored by 10.
Seems about right.
Seeing what Utah did this past week, they are putting a lot of points on the board. Mm-hmm. I just don't see Sadie. If Sadie can pull this one off at night in Utah, I don't see it.
I've seen so many coaches with good teams go to Salt Lake City for night games.
Yeah.
And just get embarrassed.
Yeah.
I know.
Satterfield's going to pee down his leg in this game. Check his dockers because they're going to be soaking wet. I look for Utah to run away with this one.
Yeah. I may be looking forward to that the second most of any game that I don't have a rooting interest. I mean, the IU game is my number one always. Mm-hmm. Vandy. I'm very interested in that because
I'm going to have fun with some of
these
games.
This is another statement game for Vandy. But then this late night game out there to see Soresby, to see Satterfield.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Go out to Utah and try to keep it close at half. Mm. Like, I think if they keep it close at halftime, that's a good win for them.
Yeah, hey, that's one thing Satterfield has always been able to do is not get blown out. He's always kind of kept games close. It's just dumb stuff down the line. Conservative when you need to be aggressive. And it's just, I don't know.
Oh, and I mean, quite frankly, I didn't even realize that
It's
the cocktail party.
And I just don't see Florida doing anything. They have had it coming off a bye. So is Georgia. I think they're both coming off a bye. So that's a neutral field. If anything, it's in Georgia's favor. I mean, Georgia could not choke on that one, could they? I just don't see it.
I can't imagine.
There's really not that many great games this week, and quite honestly,
there's some low-key games that are good that have playoff implications.
Yeah. And these are 2-5-3 teams, but I'm just going to be happy at noon to watch Arizona State, Iowa State again because I love to watch them two battle. But there's really not that many. I think it's funny we're not even talking about Ohio State, Penn State.
I was just about to say that was supposed to be the marquee game of the whole season.
Right, right.
And of course, it's not. I mean, Ohio State's favored by 3 touchdowns in that game.
Right.
And
look, I don't think Penn State's going to lay down. I don't think Ohio State's got. I think they'll still win by 17. I don't know.
Penn State doesn't have to lay down. Penn State just isn't a good football team, and I thought they were overrated when the season started. They're definitely without their starting quarterback.
Yeah,
they're worse than they were at the beginning of the season.
True.
And I just, yeah, the, This may be a name your score game for Ohio State.
Just like every week.
Yeah.
I've watched Ohio State play, obviously the Texas game, and then outside of that, maybe 20 total minutes. Their games aren't exciting. They're really good. They're not playing anybody. And it's just...
You know, and I'm not sure that we've seen, because they haven't really been pressed all year.
No.
Like, they looked fine against Illinois. Like, I mean, that game was never in doubt. But I think what it ended up being, like 34-13 or something like that. But I just don't think that they've had any pressure put on them all year. So
I'd like to see Julie or like saying and like have to make a game winning drive.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
And quite frankly, I don't think you're going to see either Ohio State or Indiana be pushed until they play each other in the championship game.
Well, maybe Ohio State with Michigan, because for some reason that's just a thing.
Yeah.
I thought last year they were going to kick the snot out of Michigan.
I did too.
So
I did too.
Until they beat Michigan, I'm always going to think that that's going to be a close game.
Yep. And it very well could. But, weird things happen in that rivalry game. And Michigan's not a terrible football team. They're a fine football team. You know, probably a fringe top 25 football.
I think they're better than they were last year.
I think so.
Yeah.
They have better quarterback.
Yeah.
Indiana plays at Maryland, 3-touchdown favorite there. I'm interested just to see, you know, can Indiana keep rolling? Because last week, you know, if you watch College Game Day, almost all the College Game Day guys picked it to be, they didn't pick necessarily UCLA to win, but they all said, this is going to be a close game. UCLA's figured out their offense. They're going to score. Like Kirk Herbstreit was like, they're going to score a lot of points. Desmond Howard, this game's going to be way closer than everybody thinks. It was 56-6. I mean, Indiana, that's what they do at home. They blow out inferior teams at home. I'm interested to see if they can go to on the road, which they have several times the last 2 years, but if they can go on the road against a solid Maryland team that has some skill players, pretty good defense. I'm interested to see if they can continue their kind of blowout ways. I was very impressed with them last Saturday in a game that I was at. And I was glad that they were winning by so much that I got to leave at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, I don't think Indiana has much to worry about until that Big Ten championship game. And
yeah, because, dude, I don't care what Purdue does in the last game.
No.
And they always say, you know, we talked about before, weird things happen in these rivalry games.
Does weird things happen in that one, though?
Yes.
Okay.
But nothing... Nothing in the history of the rivalry would be as weird as Purdue keeping that within 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I'll just say it that way.
Yeah.
Miami, maybe a sneaky game at SMU. I don't know.
I think Miami kicks the snot out of them.
Yeah, SMU's a 12.5 point underdog.
Miami has no room for error right now because they're not going to play for an ACC championship. And as of right now, they are the second team from the ACC. The only way the ACC gets two bids is if Miami gets in there.
What's his name? Wren?
Wren.
Wren, the coach of SMU, Mr. Talky Talk.
Oh,
shit the bed versus Wake Forest.
Rhett Lashley.
You're a bum, Lashley. You choked.
Well,
so your season's over.
There's talk of him going to Arkansas, and I think that's heated up. And like you said, I don't know if he can keep those rich kids happy in that locker room. So
yeah.
I think Miami rolls here.
Louisville travels to Virginia Tech. I'm glad for their sake it's not a night game. Louisville, a 10.5 point favorite. You feel pretty comfortable with that, Tuna?
No, I'm absolutely petrified of this game.
I thought you might be.
And it's,
you better be.
It's not just me freaking out. Like, Virginia Tech's won 3 games with this new intern coach, and he's rowdy. Like, he's got these guys juiced up. Like, they're all buying in. They didn't quit last game. They were down, and they came firing back. And I'm going to tell you, dude, that place, for playing Cal.
I guess only small schools come back when their coach get fired. Y'all don't think LSU's going to come back and do anything?
But for
playing UCLA and Virginia Tech have. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I just – either way, like, this stadium fills up no matter who they're playing. They got great fans out there that deserve to win. Louisville has traditionally struggled with running quarterbacks. We got to hit Kyren Drone early and hard.
Do you wish you were going to this game?
Kinda, yeah. But I don't know. Is what it is, man. It's you can't be scared of Virginia Tech, but at the same time, I'm petrified because Louisville has done nothing to make me think that we're going to win any game comfortably.
Right.
But if you play like you did your last road game, you will.
I'm with you, but Kyren Drones does concern me, that's
is
about
that
it.
3:30?
It's 3 o'clock on the CW, and that's another thing. Louisville has a CW curse. Whenever we play on the CW, we kind of get beat.
That's a Tom Brenneman thing, I think.
Yeah, it's rough. I don't know. Like, it's bad. We lost to Pitt on the CW network, like, which Pitt, by the way. And real quick, like, Louisville fans, we need to pull for Virginia to lose and Georgia Tech to lose. I know we all love Brent Key, but we got to have Georgia Tech lose, and we need Virginia to lose two games. Virginia could easily lose to Cal out at Cal this weekend. And Pitt, by the way, they're a real dog. Like, that's a damn good football team right now. And that kid at quarterback, I'm going to keep talking about him because he keeps putting up amazing stats every time he comes out there. So that's where I'm at with that.
All right. Texas Tech at Kansas State. Any thoughts that Kansas State could sneak up and do anything in that ballgame?
Well, I believe Baron Morton is playing.
I think so.
So, no. I know Manhattan, Kansas, great stadium, great atmosphere. It gets rowdy there, but Texas Tech's too good when they've got everybody clicking.
So. I would be inclined to agree with that. Any other game that we did not touch on that you guys are looking at? That pretty much covers the top 25 of teams that are playing anybody decent.
Yeah. Georgia Tech at NC State, something to keep an eye on.
That's a night game.
It's a night game. NC State does get kind of wild at night there. They do that whole, like, howling on the third down.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat. NC State did beat Virginia at the beginning of the year in a conference/non-conference game. NC State's not a good football team, but they've got some juice to them. You know, C.J. Bailey, you never count him out. They could give Virginia or Georgia Tech a scare here.
And Georgia Tech is a team that has a tendency a lot of times, as we've talked about, to make all these games be like a one-score game late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. And Haynes King is fully seated at the Heisman, finally. Like, I've been rallying for this guy all year, and finally he's getting mentioned.
Yep.
So.
As well he should be.
I agree.
So that kind of opens or kind of closes the book on this week's college football. We're going to do our picks here in a little bit. But there is one other big-time sporting event of unique local interest to us as the horse racing capital of the United States. And Freddie, I believe you have some thoughts on this weekend's Breeders' Cup.
Breeders' Cup, guys. Let's go through this rather fast because it's a lot of stuff, and I didn't really want to go through all of it.
Well,
there's
don't.
So many races. Oh, I'm not. There's so many races. There's only one that matters, and it's the Classic. It's Saturday, race number 9. It's all the greatest horses that have ran all year, and for that matter, the year before. You got Fierceness, Beza, Nevada Beach, Contrary Thinking, which is tune. I want to let you know the odds of this horse that they put in as a rabbit. 6,767-1 in this race.
So I'm putting
those are
in.
The odds.
Now he's gonna go off at like 60-1, I bet.
Put this Fierceness is 6-1, Beza 7-1, Nevada Beach 51, and this horse is 6,767-1 morning line.
I guarantee he's like 50-1 by the time.
What if they all fell down? Like they all ran into each other and like.
Well, you know how many people were putting like $10 on him just for the hell of it.
I wish you. I don't want to read it, but I wish you could read what it says about that horse when they do it on Horse Racing Nation. They have something to say about each horse. They're like, if this horse wins this race, it will be the greatest upset in sports history. Mm. Anyways, he is in there for Sierra Leone, the closer, who will be 9-2 Forever Young. That's Tuna's horse,
Japanese
3-1 who won it last year. Mind Frame, 17-1 Journalism, 8-1 Antiquarium, 13-1 And guess who scratched today? Sovereignty. Just don't like running against some of the big boys, do you? No, I'm kidding. Sovereignty's a great champion, and I wish that horse was in. I'm sure they would love to be running in that race. He had a fever. So I'm going to give you my picks. That's it. It's that simple. And they are this simple. I'm going to give you two Superfecta boxes. We're going for all the money here, and I am not putting the four horse in. Okay? So it's easy. You do a dollar Superfecta box on the 1579. That's $24. Then you do a $2 Superfecta box on the 2579. So what I'm doing is I'm going with Forever Young, Sierra Leone, and Journalism in both. And then I'm switching out Beza and Fierceness in both of those because those are the two that I'm confused on which one to take. I feel like all four of them will be in the top four, no doubt about it. So that is, and if you want to do it.
How many horses are in this race?
There's 10. Nope. Yeah, 10.
Nine. Okay.
And, well, 8.5 if you want, if you're counting contrary thinking as an animal.
But God, I hope that horse
but
pulls
I
it
think
out.
I'm not going to tiddly fart with this around when I'm betting. I'm going for the gusto, and you might as well, like, hell, do a 50-cent super if you want to just spend $12. But at least a good dollar one, man. And these horses pay. The odds are incredible. It's a great paying race, and I can't wait to bet all these races on Friday and Saturday, guys, starting all day into the night. Don't forget, this is at Del Mar in California, so it's going to be when some late night or midnight or late type football's going on.
Yeah, awesome.
There you have it, and I just wanted to say one more thing to Oregon and Dan Lanning. You cost us a huge loss, you chump. I did not only know that it rained, that their quarterback got his nose ripped off.
It always rains in Oregon.
And you know what? You know what Dan Lanning, and I quote, oh, it was just a ding across the face. He acted like it was no big deal. They're going into a bye net this week, for God's sake. Wisconsin had their two running back starters out, their leading tackler out, the two top centers out, and their punt returner and safety did not play in that game.
All right, we get it, Fred, but right. we're up against the clock here.
We talked about that game 30
still,
minutes ago.
I want to grab Dan Lanning by the
neck. We don't have
neck.
Time for you to go on a 20-minute tirade you lost. So with all that
Dodgers.
We are up against it, so let's do last call.
I thought we already did that. My bad.
let's just do last call. Give me your five picks and your one for the TikTok reel, Tuna.
All right, my picks. I'm going with Tulane on a Friday night game, -4 at Texas San Antonio. Tulane knows what's in front of them. They're going to keep rolling. I'm taking Clemson at home, -3.5 versus Duke. Clemson, yeah. It's just easy, -3.5. Pittsburgh, -14.5 to keep on rolling at Stanford. I'm taking Cal, +4 against Virginia. Virginia has been in three straight overtime games, should have lost last week, could easily go out and travel to California and lose
this
one.
That line is actually 4.5 now.
Okay, give me Cal plus the 4.5. And then I'm going to close it out with the Utahs, obviously, -8.5 over Satterfield.
Okay, love it. I'm going to take
– pick is Utah -8.5 over
– Okay, since Tuna made that his main pick and you all knew I was going with Utah Utes too on a Saturday night, I'm going to give you these five. Let's go to Houston. Houston, we have a problem. At Houston, 2-6, West Virginia, going to 7-1, Houston. They're finally at home, ready to beat up on somebody. -12.5, I think that's the spread. Let's go Houston on that one. Let's go to Ole Miss, 7-1 versus a reeling Cox team, 3-5, who just lost a heartbreaker at home to Bama. Let's go Ole Miss -12.5. Of course, I'm going to knock all these down to 10. let's go Rutgers. Travis will love this one. We're going to Champaign, Illinois, who just laid an absolute clunker. Illinois got drummed by Washington. They're 5-3. I'm going to go 4-4. Rutgers +13. Let's go, baby. Shiano. All right, we're going to go at Colorado. What has happened to Deion and his team? Good Lord, they just got blown away. 3-5, and I know they're at home and people are going to be pumped up about them, but I like a good, solid Arizona team -1.5. A 4-3 Arizona team win that game. Let's go to Rocky Top. Tennessee, 6-2, given 3 to a Oklahoma team that I feel is reeling, even though they are 6-3. We're going to go with Tennessee in that one.
What's the spread on that one again, Brad?
-3. Soon to be -1.
All right. What's your pick for the TikTok?
Oh, my pick for the TikTok is – did I had it circled here? Oh, Tuna took Utah. My pick is Houston, -12.5.
All right. Colin has Michigan State and Minnesota, the under. He has the under. He has the under 44.5.
I bet.
I think Colin watches the worst games on TV.
I think less than like 0.5% of college football fans know that that game's even being played.
Michigan State, Minnesota, under 44.5.
That is a great under, though, Colin. A great clunker.
He has Nebraska +6.5 against USC.
Oh.
He has Georgia Tech -5.5 against NC State.
I kind of like that.
He's going the opposite way with Cincinnati to cover against Utah.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, he's taking Indiana to cover the 21.5 against Maryland.
You know why he's on Cincy, right?
Because of Soresby?
Exactly. Yeah.
Did we talk
once
about
a Hoosier,
Indiana tonight?
Always a Hoosier.
Did I miss something?
Mm-hmm. Tune okay. And I talked about him briefly.
Like, Maryland's
I think
slouch.
Sometimes you just go places
Maryland's
when we're
no
doing
slouch.
The show. Like you're
Maryland's
just...
no slouch, dude.
Yeah,
coming off a bye week.
Yeah, I mean,
where have you been at?
This is the, we had this conversation like 7.5 minutes
oh,
ago.
Oh, okay. I think I was looking at my Breeders' Cup thing. Now y'all had me rushed, and dude was like, "I gotta get out of here."
All right.
Yeah, blame it on me.
All right.
I like when we were texting, and you brought something up that we spent like a half hour talking about one time.
I didn't know anything about
this.
Yeah,
did you guys see this?
And that's like, what I said. Oh. I said,
did you see Bill Walton died?
Do you ever listen to us talk on the podcast?
I just look at lips moving.
I've got Vandy to cover the 2.5 at Texas.
Oh.
I've got Michigan to cover the 21.5 against Purdue. I also embedding the Minnesota Michigan State game.
Oh,
I'm taking Minnesota to cover the 3.
Oh my god.
Is that
gosh.
Game on Peacock?
Did they
I would assume it's a Big
I
10 network.
I thought a different team from Minnesota showed up this past weekend. Like
well,
what happened there?
They're much better at home. Michigan State.
They are.
Michigan
good call.
State stinks.
No, that's a good call. Stu took that.
Jonathan
today.
Smith on the hot seat.
Your boy,
there's been mention
your
of that.
Your boy Stewie took that. Day.
I've got Cal to cover 4.5 against Virginia, but just because Virginia, their luck is going to run out at some point.
They're not a good football team.
Their luck is going to run out, and I
that's
am,
a good take.
I am
that's
also taking
spread.
Tennessee to
go.
Cover the 3.
Because you like Josh Heupel.
My pick, and
I do.
Fred, I'm sorry to make you put this on the TikTok reel.
Oh, baby.
But my pick for the TikTok reel is Minnesota to cover the three against Michigan State.
God. All right, let's go. I know people are going to go, they're taking Minnesota again.
I will get Collins.
Houston was my pick on there last.
I will get Collins' pick for the TikTok reel after we go off the air tonight. But we want to get Tuna out of here. It's almost time for the first pitch. So with nothing further to talk about, can't wait for this weekend's football games. Can't wait for the Breeders' Cup. Let's all win some money. For the big fella, the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.